Warner Brothers Pictures, an AOL Time Warner company. Morgan Creek and Franchise Pictures. Part of a shotgun gleams silver amidst green leaves. There's some movement in the background, then the gun is picked up by a man in his 50s. He carries the gun away from a tall wire fence surrounded by trees and undergrowth on all sides. He's clothed in drab colours, dark trousers, black gloves, an olive-green waxed jacket and a baseball cap. His eyes are hidden behind a pair of shades and he's carrying an old satchel on one shoulder. Emerging from the trees, he loads the double-barreled shotgun with cartridges he's carrying in his jacket pocket. Then he opens a small notebook and writes something on the page with a pencil. Still writing, he walks to a nearby road. Film title, Heist.
Hey, 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 good morning. The LIE is clear. Good morning. FDR shows good to 59th Street. Got a Gaper's block. The Henry Hudson 5 to 15 minute delay.
Keep the change.
From the
thanks, pal.
Bridge south.
What are you waiting on?
Four cappuccinos.
Four cappuccinos. Let's go.
At the cafe's coffee machine, a waitress rubs her right eye wearily. She's an attractive woman in her 30s and is wearing her brown hair tied back. She unscrews the cap of an eyedrop bottle, then appears to squeeze a drop into each eye. She glances back at the man in the suit waiting for the cappuccinos. Quickly and subtly, she squeezes some of the liquid into the froth of each of the coffees, then presses plastic lids onto the paper cups and picks up the tray. With an unreadable expression, she slips her bag onto her shoulder and heads out of the cafe, closing the door behind her. Taking a drag on her cigarette, she turns a corner into a back street, then pulls a dark coat from her handbag and slips it on over her short yellow waitress's dress. After a quick look over her shoulder, she then whips off her brown wig, revealing short dark hair streaked with blonde highlights. Next, she puts on a pair of sunglasses, turns up the collar of her coat, then emerges from the quiet alleyway. The man who ordered the cappuccinos carries them in a paper tray alongside a grand stone building. Reaching the entrance of the jewelry store, he steps inside. Wearing an immaculate suit, a tall, bald man with glasses, moustache, and a small tufty beard under his bottom lip passes in the opposite direction. Now the waitress is looking in at a window display of sparkling necklaces. She sees the man inside hand a coffee to a security guard. Next, the man who had the shotgun earlier and the bald suited guy are customers at a hot dog stand.
Buddy, you forgot your change.
The shotgun man returns.
Makes the world go round.
What's that?
Gold.
Some people say love.
Yeah, they're right too. It is love. Love of gold.
The two men peel away from each other. The waitress rounds a corner and taps her fingers on a newspaper that she's pretending to read. The shotgun man, who's now wearing a suit, acknowledges the signal with a slight nod as he passes. Further along the street, he sees a chubby, bearded man toss a package into the trash with a gloved hand, then set off along the sidewalk opposite, carrying a pile of books tied with string. Carrying a long, tubular case, the bald, suited man with the glasses stops by a nearby window. Now the shotgun man is loitering outside the jewelry shop's entrance. With his face etched with concern, he glances up at a street clock which reads 9 a.m. Meanwhile, the chubby bookman is crossing the street. The trash can explodes, making a yellow cab career into parked cars. In the confusion, the bald man hurries over to the jeweler's and sees people lying unconscious inside. In the doorway, the shotgun man quickly starts unscrewing the cap of his walking cane. As people in the street rush to the crashed taxi, the band of three gather in the doorway. The shotgun man assembles a crowbar. With the bald man's help, he rams the crowbar into the corner of the door and they start applying pressure. Wood splinters away from the lock inside and the door flies open. The bald man and the chubby man pull on clear plastic face masks. The shotgun man sees a woman's legs move. One of the takeaway coffees is sitting untouched on the side. The frightened young woman steps gingerly over a man lying on the floor. The shotgun man is offered a pistol, but reluctant to take it, accepts a stun gun from the bald man instead.
Thank God you're there. I need your help. There's been an explosion. Pick up the phone. What? Pick up the phone and dial 911.
He holds the device against her neck and stuns her, then looks up grimly to see a security camera pointing straight at him, its red light flashing. He waves the other two inside. The shotgun man's mask is left on the floor by the door, which his bold partner wedges closed with a crowbar. The bookman presses a button under a desk to open a fortified door.
Hurt.
They head into a control room and find a security guard slumped over his desk in front of three small monitors. In a bowl of trinkets, the shotgun man finds a Swiss Army knife with a code stuck onto the blade.
18, 36, 7, pound.
The bald man enters the code on a number pad, then catches the knife that's tossed to him. In the main shop, the bookman takes a small pickaxe and timer from his hollowed-out stack of books. He winds up the timer and sets it down on a glass display cabinet, which he then smashes. Meanwhile, the bald man is using a power screwdriver to remove screws from a large deposit box. The shotgun man watches the monitors, then kneels by a safe.
What are you doing? It's on the security tape.
The shotgun man abandons the safe. On the shop floor, the chubby bookman is smashing more display cabinets and pocketing the jewelry from inside. The shotgun man frantically searches the guard's cluttered desk for the security key, pulling the small monitors back from the wall and looking behind them, whilst his colleague continues drawing out screws. Finding nothing amongst the debris on the desk, he turns his attention to the ceiling above his head. Then he grabs a stepladder, climbs up it, and shines his flashlight on the high shelf. The bookman is tipping more jewelry into a satchel he's wearing slung over one shoulder. The shotgun man scans his torch beam along the shelf, frowning, then stops in surprise when he discovers a hidden camera pointing towards the security guard's desk. He turns and sees himself on one of the monitors. The bookman clears out another display cabinet as the bald man finally breaks into a deposit box. He starts tipping a diamond necklace and earrings into a bag. The shotgun man opens a pair of doors to find a sturdy cage securely locked. When the timer goes off, the bookman throws it at a two-way security mirror to warn the others in the back. The bald man picks up the pace, hurriedly stashing trays of gems into his bag. As the shotgun man starts hammering at the lock on the cage, his colleague on the shop floor frantically tries to catch his attention. The bald man rushes over and takes the bar from the shotgun man.
Enough.
The older man turns to look back at the cage he couldn't open. Seconds later, they join the bookman on the shop floor. The bald man slips on a piece of broken glass before picking up the clear face mask. The shotgun man fits the hollowed-out books over the disguised equipment box. The three small monitors in front of the slumped security guard show the trio making good their escape. Now the shotgun man, Joe Moore, is holding a metal component against a fast-spinning buffer. Seeing a large wooden catch, Moore outside, its sails furled, he switches off the machine. He takes off his safety goggles, then heads through his workshop just as the waitress, Fran, and another man enter.
Hey, how'd it go?
Fine as fine.
Yeah? Where'd you get that?
Here you go, Mr. Fletcher.
You fixed it?
Nah, I had to make you a new one.
Ah, you're a pretty smart fella.
Not that smart.
You're not that smart. How'd you figure it out?
I tried to imagine a fellow smarter than myself. And then I tried to think, what would he do?
That's one hell of a boat you got there.
You sign up and I'll build you one just like it.
I want to buy that one.
Yeah, well, that's my boat. You come up with a down payment and I'll have your boat in the water in 18 months. We're getting pretty good at this conversation.
You're so smart, close the deal.
There you go.
What is it?
Open it up, it's yours.
It's in the shape of an arrow. Fretch is Italian for arrow.
Yeah, I know, you told me.
It looks like gold.
That's because I gilded it.
Why?
I wanted to sell you a boat.
Good try, though. I want that boat. Yeah. You sell me that boat, I'm going to come down, laundry bag full of cash. Take the money, take your little girl, cruise down some tropic isle.
You're going to get that kind of cash.
Hey, don't be coy. You know who I am. You sell me your boat, I'm going to put you under my wing. That's my private number.
Mr. Fretcher, I can't do it. I'm working on your boat. Take mine out whenever it's free.
Does that girl go with it?
Hey, you drop the dime, I'll have five guys down here Monday morning laying up a haul.
You decide to sell me your boat. Let's do something, huh?
Fretcher drives off in his red open-top sports car, and Joe goes to join Fran, who's standing in the workshop doorway.
I would have liked to build him that boat.
Walk away from it.
Well, let's start getting the gear on board. You got the charts?
Oh, yeah.
On the boat, Fran shows Joe a bundle.
Why so many?
Wouldn't want somebody to look at them to figure out where we're going.
How'd I get so lucky?
You're the law west of the Pecos.
Yeah, I used to be the law west of the Pecos. Now I'm cashing out.
Well, you got your picture took.
Is that why I'm cashing out? Is that right?
If you say it, it's right.
You're the brass ring, babe.
Glad you like me.
They embrace lovingly.
Off you go.
Yeah.
Joe steps out on deck and picks up a holdall.
See you tonight.
He steps onto the quay.
Stay in the shadows.
Hey, everybody's gonna be looking in the shadows.
Where's the place to be?
Place to be is in the sun.
With a smile, he walks to a waiting cab. Later, a short, round-faced man, Mickey Bergman, is examining diamonds through a jeweler's lens.
Just gorgeous. Nobody gets the goods like you, Joe.
Well, anybody can get the goods. The hard part's getting away. You plan a good enough getaway, you could steal Ebbets Field.
Ebbets Field's gone.
What did I tell you?
Joe and his bold partner in crime, Bobby Blaine, watch as one of Mickey's men whispers in his ear.
My nephew, Jimmy Silk. Yep, that's who he is.
You don't say hello?
I guess he's got other things on his mind.
Anything you want while you're here? Something for that pretty little lady?
A fur coat.
What's that lady seeing you anyway?
I'm very resilient.
So's Gumby.
I got a better profile.
Yeah, you're gonna leave that down south, though, Argentina.
How you doing, Bobby?
I think you're looking at it. Yeah, you go down south, sit in the sun, get you one of them Cocker Spaniel dogs, pull down your bathing suit, stick your ass out of the world.
You think the world's ready for that?
Good news, the other thing. We got the go-ahead. We got a date. Got a firm date on a Swiss thing.
Yeah, I'm burnt.
They got my picture. They got your picture in drag with your war paint on.
That's a blessing this time, anyway. Time to check out.
Jimmy Silk enters the office with Joe's holdall and puts it on Mickey's desk.
What we got? See. Ooh, it's It's going to be higher than the estimate.
And half of that is yours.
I told you we're on for the other thing, the Swiss thing.
Why is he telling me that, Mickey, that half of it's mine? I know half of it's mine because you remember, me and my crew, we went in there and got it.
I put myself in hock. We went in hock, set up the deal on your say-so.
Well, let's review the bidding. You let me walk in there with my crew, and now you want to stiff me for my money? Mickey!
If it was me.
Yeah, if it was you and if it was me, I owe my crew. I got to get out of town. I got to go.
You should have popped the girl.
Well, you should have been there.
Here, give me. This other thing, the Swiss thing, I was a publisher. I published the plans.
Why don't you publish the plans?
Yeah, no, I said that's what I would do if I was a publisher. Unfortunately, I'm a thief, so I have to do that thing.
Give me our cut. We worked for my crew. We'll do the Swiss job.
Come on, Joe. You know that's bullshit. You're going traveling. What are you gonna do? Play me for a sucker? I give you the money now and you're gone. This other job is set up. You understand my position?
Well, here's mine. We did the job, my partners and me.
I'm your partner. I don't set you up. What do you got, little lambsy divey? I bankroll this job on your say-so.
Mickey, I rode here in my car. You know, I didn't take the bus.
Go back to prison.
All right, what did I tell you? Was I wrong?
Mickey.
Oh.
I don't think so.
Yes, again.
One of Mickey's men has tried to restrain Bobby, but he rams the man against the wall.
You want to play okay, Corral? You want to just come on? Is that the man?
Bobby floors the man, then draws his gun on another of Mickey's henchmen.
You wait and fate right here.
Hold on, man.
Your wait and your fate right here.
Bag's empty, Bobby.
What?
Bag is empty.
Yeah.
Put the bag down. It's empty.
Hey, Joe.
What do you want me to do? Sit down and pull up a chair while you rape me?
If you'd pause in your headstrong progress, Joe! Joe, I'm in hock to my people for all the toys. All the toys you said go out and buy. The truck, two trucks, the plane, the train. You said go out and spend the money.
Hey, what do you want from me?
What do I want? I want you to do the other thing.
You screwed me on Wednesday. You screwed me on Friday. I gotta go. I got my face on a cereal box.
You got no money. You're bust. You're burnt and you're busted.
Jimmy.
Excuse me. Mr. Bergman asked you a question.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me, my uncle asked you a question.
Fuck your uncle.
Fuck my uncle, you're the help.
I'm the help? Yeah, I'm the help.
Hey!
You know why the chicken crossed the road? Because the road crossed the chicken.
Walk away.
Hey, you! Hold on!
Situation pristine.
Hey!
Cut him off.
They pass the bookman named Pink, who deliberately steps out in front of a car and is knocked to the ground. The cops ignore Jimmy and rush over to Pink instead.
Oh, I didn't see him.
Oh, my God.
How is he?
It's his road game.
Sometime later, Joe flicks through a New Zealand passport with a photo of a blonde-haired Fran in it. He opens another with his own photo and inspects the print quality. Bobby approaches and sits next to him on the park bench with a pair of coffees.
Your man does good work.
Well, that's why I use him.
Yeah, these pass anywhere.
Why don't you take advantage of it, Joe?
Nah. Gotta get somebody to throw me in the briar patch.
Bobby looks away worriedly.
Yeah, give the gentleman a call.
Bobby reaches into his jacket pocket for his cell phone. Later, the short and stocky Mickey joins them in the park.
I need some walking around money.
That's not unreasonable.
And I'm going to need my men's share on the last job.
Uh-huh.
Give it to me.
Now.
You got in your pocket.
You're ahead of me every turn. How about that?
Stunning.
Plan holds the Swiss thing. You get your shipment on the 14th. The plan holds.
The plan has changed. We split it 50-50 on the site. 50-50.
So be it.
Now, what's your surprise?
My boy comes with you on the job.
He's got terrible manners.
Which of us is perfect?
Joe nods with a grin.
So be it.
Fran's on the phone in a bar.
Now, wait a sec. Wait a second. If it's about your wife, if it's about your wife, why didn't you... No, wait. Will you wait? What I'm saying, if the whole thing is about your wife, you know what? You know what? The hell with it.
Not a happy camper, huh?
I'm not a camper at all, stud. Pour it.
Yeah. To Jimmy.
See anything you like?
I'm busy.
Pour it.
Take it easy, baby. That stuff will rot your stomach lining.
Yeah, but I get to drink it first.
Joe's nearby, posing as a plainclothes cop. Fran moves to the woman next to her.
Oh, Lord, that's all I need.
What?
There goes my job. You see his badge? You know where that guy is from? And he caught me drinking. I am on shift.
Joe pretends not to notice her. The woman at the bar gazes across at his badge, and he walks away.
End of a perfect day.
The woman turns a thoughtful face in Joe's direction, and Fran leaves her. Joe to Jimmy.
That's Betty Croft.
What's her problem?
She's a drunk.
She's a drunk.
You bet she is.
Outside.
Why is she important?
She gets us in the door.
She gets us in the door how?
I want you to take the uniforms. Leave them out on the porch 3-4 days. Get the dry clean smell out.
When we do the switch, the highway.
Hey.
Nobody can hear.
Nobody can hear what you don't say.
I'm going to be as quiet as an ant pissing on cotton.
I don't want you as quiet as an ant pissing on cotton. I want you as quiet as an ant not even thinking about pissing on cotton.
Joe walks over to a two-tone brown station wagon parked in the lot, leaving Jimmy smoking a cigarette thoughtfully. Fran emerges from the bar dressed as a grungy deadbeat and holds Jimmy's stare as she walks past him. Jimmy finishes his cigarette, then gets in the passenger side. The car then cruises out of the parking lot under a clear blue sky. Now, disguised as a workman in a fluorescent orange bib and hard hat, Joe pulls a roll of electrical cabling through a gap in a wire fence. Surrounded by woodland, he pushes a metal peg into the grass with his foot to pin the cable to the ground. Finally, he pulls tufts of long grass over to hide it. He collects an empty metal gas can with the bottom cut away, then kneels in the grass next to it. Working swiftly with gloved hands, he begins to twist some wiring next to a timing device. Then he stuffs everything in a plastic bag into the open end of the can and walks away. Soon after, Joe greets Pink, who's pretending to be a road surveyor. Parked nearby, Jimmy's sitting in the station wagon next to Bobby, who's on the phone.
Hello. Yeah, I gotta report a breakdown here. I got one of your rentals, I need a tow truck. Oh, come on, don't tell me that. Yeah, all right.
What's the story on your pal?
He was born, he suffered, he died.
Can you do the thing?
He was doing the same before you were born.
But you see, that's what troubles me.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, you want to pray about it?
No, I'm not a religious man.
That's a shame.
How's the leg?
Never better. How long has he been with that girl?
What girl is that?
His wife.
How long is a Chinaman's name?
How long is a Chinaman's name? You ever notice that?
Jimmy gives Bobby a look.
You got the uniforms?
Yeah, I got them. Get them all aired out.
Joe steps onto the roadside, picks up a traffic cone, then strolls towards the car.
Rental trucks?
Yeah.
What do we got? Gotta redo some of these figures.
I gotta start from scratch.
Worked out on the plan. Why all of a sudden now you gotta...
Yeah, well, when things start to go sour, somebody's gonna be pissing their shit. Looking around, shoot somebody in the head. I want an alternate idea.
Why should it go sour?
You timing the record?
Yeah. No. Teach me something. Why should it go sour? Was that such a stupid question?
You ever cheat on a woman? Girl, something, you know, and stand her up, step out on her?
What?
You ever do that?
Yeah.
When you called her, did you have an excuse?
Yeah.
What if she didn't ask? Was your alibi a waste of time?
Joe lifts the cone off the car's roof and chucks it in through the open rear window. To Bobby.
Is he gonna hold up?
He's only gotta hold it together till the thing.
A police car passes them, then stops.
Oh. Okay, all right.
Is he backing up?
Here he comes.
Ain't that pretty?
Joe forces a grin as he sips from a plastic cup.
Don't start the car. It's just a routine stop. Some guy's on the side of the road. Don't start the car.
Jimmy watches through the wing mirror.
Morning. Can I see some identification, please?
It's good of you to come. Excuse me, officer, but you were supposed to be here an hour ago.
Just forget about this, huh?
Hey, it's no big deal, but we're out here without any protection.
Who'd you talk to?
You know, it burns my butt.
I understand that.
You know, we're out there working on the highway, uh-huh. and for the city.
Who did
and,
you talk you know, to, sir?
I know it's not your fault. I'm sorry.
All right. Who did you talk to, sir? Well, did you talk to Kay Barracks?
Back in the car, Jimmy frowns.
Keep it together.
Can you cool the guy out?
Just pick up your clipboard and make like you're writing in it. Pick up the clipboard.
Is it going to be cool?
You know what? Can you give me some information?
Joe and Bobby head back to the car.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
What are you getting mad at him for? He's just doing his job.
He's right. Beg your pardon.
The cop is about to leave when he sees Jimmy watching in the wing mirror. Pink just manages to stop Jimmy getting out.
Whoa, get the fuck out of the car.
Get back in the car.
Hey, you know,
get Pinky the piece. Put your hands on the steering wheel. And keep him there. Everything is fine. Just keep right there. That's good. We got it taken care of. It's all right. Not a problem.
Thanks so much.
All right. Great.
Chuck! Yeah, you got a phone call right here.
Oh, excuse me.
It's Mr. Smith at the office. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you. Uncle. Yeah. Thank you for your help.
Well, yeah, it's one of those days. Got it.
With a forced grin, Joe waves at the officer, then continues the phony call.
Yeah.
You son of a bitch, you.
Oh, that was real good.
I ought to... Tell me why I don't leave him in a ditch somewhere.
How about we do?
I only tried to help.
Hey, don't do... I don't want you to do anything unless it'll tell...
We hit the city. You burn the car.
I'll take
you
the car.
You do it. Now you do it!
They drive off.
Listen, man, it's very simple. It's several elements, okay? You got the tow truck. You got the roadblock. I can do it, okay? I can do it. I know the job. I got the job cold. I you can't cut me loose. I got the job cold. Hey, please, guys, we got a deal here.
Young, dumb, full of cum. Leave me bleeding to death on the side of the highway. Hey, he's just impetuous.
Joe, security truck to the garage. We beat the tow truck to the drop-off point. The tow truck. Hey, what's so funny? You got no job without me. You got nothing without this job. You want to go down south? Pretty little wife, due respect, broke. You want to go down there broke? Without me, you got nothing. You got nothing without this job. You need the job. You need me. Look it.
Hey, you can't take him on that job.
Okay. I got a bit loose, but...
You cannot take this lame on the job.
Look.
Joe! Hey, Joe!
Okay. Can we just go calm here for a minute?
Go calm. So now what happened to you now?
I'll tell you what happened to me, which is I want to take a minute to make a decision.
Joe.
Fine.
Joe, can I talk to you? Joe.
Pink.
What the hell is it?
They found the car.
Joe frowns.
What car? The station wagon. The cops found it.
What do you mean they found it? How could they find it? I told you to ditch the car.
I stopped off to see my niece.
Did you wipe it down?
You stopped up to see your niece?
Did you wipe it down?
I left my clipboard in the car. What does this do to the job?
You left your clipboard.
You know, my leg was troubling me, Bob.
Pink,
The job is on the clipboard.
What about the job?
The whole job is on the clipboard.
Job stands. We meet in 10 days.
What, are you out of your mind?
I'll tell you what. You want to run the show?
You want to run the show? It's fun to play pretend. Come on.
What, you going to roll over for these guys? You going to let them stick you?
I got to go away.
You took this lame on the job.
I can't go down there with nothing.
You're drawing dead, Joe.
Joe.
The job is dead.
Hey, wait.
Bobby, I can't sync with the job. Wait a second. Baby, you got old.
Joe glares at Bobby.
I'm going out. That's it.
I don't see. Bobby, I don't see how they could have found the car.
You're a stupid lame. I'm out of here. I gotta get on with my life.
Hey, Bobby, wait a second.
Sorry.
Bobby. Wait a
Fran,
second.
What the
Bobby.
Fuck are you doing?
The place is burnt.
Hey, hold it. Oh, for Christ's sake, you got me blocked in. You gotta move your car, man.
Hey, wait. Hold on. What's going on? What's the shot?
Hey, you got some place to go? You got some shade? You best get to it. And move your car, I gotta go.
Oh, shit. Where's my piece?
I got it. I'll get it to the highway.
I tell you what, give it to me now.
What am I telling you? Just follow me.
Bobby, hold on. Just a minute. Bobby.
God's
sake. Bobby,
you
get out of
the way, Bobby. Hey. Are you walking out on me, Bobby? Are you walking out on me, you weak son of a bitch?
Joe, for Christ's sake, Joe. I'm
You're
sorry.
Gonna get the car. Look at after all this time.
Joe, man.
What the hell?
Come back here.
As Bobby and Jimmy's cars roar away, a curious change comes over Joe and Pink.
And there they go.
That's right.
Will you get gone too?
They hug, then Joe puts his arm around Fran.
You know, I would have loved to do that Swiss job.
It's a good plan.
Never liked the Swiss. They make them little clocks. These two cocksuckers come out of them. These little hammers hit each other on the head. What kind of sick mentality is that? You take care, Pally.
Oh. You get Bobby's share to him.
Yeah. What are you going to do for cash?
We're going to take down the boat guy tonight.
You're taking down your boat guy?
Yeah.
You're going to take his cash?
I'm selling my boat.
And then?
Then I'm going to take my boat back.
Well, baby, then aloha.
See you later, Pinky.
It's a shame. You know what? We didn't get a chance to actually do the thing, the Swiss job. It's a beautiful plan.
Cute, huh?
Cute as a pail full of kittens.
Say goodbye to your niece for me.
You bet, pal.
Joe takes down a sign by his workshop door that reads Quincy Marine. Then he and Fran go inside while Pink drives off in his brown sedan. The car slews round in a tight turn on the quay and heads off. That night, Joe is screwing the gold-plated cleat onto his boat's foredeck.
Hey! Put it out. Put it out. Put the cigar out.
Told him.
Yeah, we got a fuel leak. Trying to put your cleat in.
Put your arrow cleat in?
It was her idea.
Put your stamp on it.
Yeah, I was putting the cleat in, and damn if I didn't cut the fuel line.
I wanted to take her out tonight.
I know you did, sir, and I'm sorry as hell. I know you did. I'm going to work all night, and I'm going to have your boat ready for sunup, okay?
Hmm. All right, here's what I want to do.
Yeah, good.
I want to rebalance her. Put her a little bit by the stern.
Joe and Freccia wander off, and Fran smiles to herself before following them.
I do have the chain of title, Coast Guard certification. I've got your bill of sale for your boat.
Let me show you something pretty.
Ooh, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of cash to be carrying around.
I brought a friend.
It's a nice friend to have for a rainy day. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry as hell about that diesel leak.
Forget about it. Okay, we got forms, certifications.
Friend?
Let's see.
Like a cup of coffee?
Yeah. Friend?
Fran nods secretly to Joe, yes. Then draws a tarpaulin over something in the background.
I did this myself. You're gonna love it. This is what I want for a figurehead. It's Robin Hood. Robin Hood, what do you think?
She stops, staring at a shadow moving in the yard outside.
See, French is Italian for arrow, so you see the thing.
Yeah.
Which is to personalize the boat. Robin Hood also, we got Robin from the rich, though who would want to rob from the poor escapes me.
Yeah.
Let's see, bill of sale. We got certificate of
Joe
title.
Gets up and makes a gun gesture to Fran, who nods understandingly and sneaks a gun out from under the tarpaulin.
Yeah. I'll have my people contact you. Because here's what we're thinking
about. Hey, easy!
Joe whips the pistol out from Frenchie's pocket and aims it at him, steadying him with a firm hand on the shoulder. He glances at Fran, who nods. Now Joe opens the door and slips outside. Frenchie looks around anxiously, then grabs his holdall stuffed with cash and makes for the door.
Wait! Hold on!
He runs outside and climbs into his sports car. The pop-up headlights come on and the car reverses. Joe searches through the gloomy darkness of a large boat shed and sees the shadow of someone's head pass over the smooth white hull of a boat outside. He reaches up and unscrews an inert light bulb from its fitting by a doorway. Keeping low, he jogs through the doorway into the darkness beyond and creeps stealthily between the shadowy hulls of boats, ropes and hanging netting. Keeping his eyes peeled, he moves around some green netting. Up ahead, the figure is moving stealthily in the shadows. Gripping the gun, Joe stops and the figure does the same. Joe lowers his eyes to his gun, then looks back at the figure, who starts to move on again. Keeping his eyes fixed on the intruder, Joe tiptoes over gravel, still clutching the light bulb in his hand. Crouching, he creeps alongside a boat, using its hull for cover. The figure is still on the move up ahead. Joe pauses, then switches the light bulb to his right hand. He lobs it at a wall in front of the figure, then uses the diversion to attack.
Are you alone?
He turns the figure round to face him. It's Jimmy.
What the fuck are you doing here?
I left my cap here at the plant.
Joe throws him to the ground, then drags him up by the collar.
Hey, hold on.
Call Fretcher.
Jimmy hurries inside and starts dusting himself down. Joe puts down the gun.
Call Fretcher.
Fran lowers the sliding door, then goes and picks up the phone.
You said the joint was burnt. The joint's burnt. I don't understand. You know, I didn't want to...
You didn't want to what?
Hey, I'm trying to look out for you and little lady.
He won't answer. He's gone.
Where's this little lady seeing you anyway? You must be hung like man of war.
Joe throws Jimmy over his shoulder, kicks him for good measure, then grabs a heavy metal pole.
You want to play the dozens? Huh? Here we go. It was an error at the hospital. You died at birth. Your turn.
Joe!
Cut out your tongue! Huh? I thought you wanted to play it!
Joe, leave him.
Lying on the floor beside the tarpaulin, Jimmy discovers some personal effects underneath, including a framed photo of Fran.
You going somewhere?
What are you, the social service lady?
Jimmy gets to his feet, keeping hold of the framed photo.
You thinking of going somewhere?
You come to take the baby back?
You can't run. You gotta do the job, Joe. You know that you got to. You know you do. Can you shoot me and walk away from it? You know they'll hunt you down.
Shoot him.
I can't go down there with nothing.
Well... That's the thing. What are you gonna do?
Get out!
And what? You owe them money. You think you're gonna just sail away? They'll never let you walk away.
Get out!
Jimmy makes to leave.
Okay.
He tosses a chewing gum wrapper away, then walks out. Joe sits and empties his handgun. Fran takes a seat just behind him.
What are we gonna do?
That's what everybody wants to know.
Later, Fran lets Pink into a dingy boxing gym. He joins Bobby and Joe in a back room.
I can't go for gold until I see how to get him on.
What difference does it make, Joe? They're never going to trust you to do the job in any case.
They need me to do the fucking job.
Yes, but how are they going to trust you not to walk over on them?
The kid came back?
The kid came back.
All right, let's start again.
Why'd the kid come back?
Listen to this.
The nephew don't come back in the first place, you're down on some tropic isle.
I got an idea.
Joe, you should have left the boy at the side of the road.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't have left him with the fucking plans.
What plans?
What plans?
If he got his cheat sheet, that's why he came back.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Bobby gets a clipboard.
No, he didn't forget his fucking cheat sheet, because I got it right here.
He said that's why he came back.
He came back for me.
What?
He came back to make sure I was okay.
The guy came back for you?
That's right.
Joe's smile fades and his expression turns thoughtful.
I know how to get the gold. I need you to suit up.
You sure you want to do that?
She's the go-getter.
I'm the go-getter. You tell me what you want me to go get.
I need you to suit up. Is that all right?
If you say it, it's right.
All right. You need to put the job off for a month.
Put it off for a month?
That Pinky?
Yeah.
I need the dates for next month's shipment. In the name of a freight forwarder.
Freight forwarder?
Freight forwarder and a customs broker. All right? Mm-hmm. Good, good, good.
Where are you going with this?
You just listen. I'm going to stand this thing on its head.
With me, because I've just financialized the problem and you've just become more trouble than you're worth. The girl says you're gonna do the job. You said that before. Why now? What is it all of a sudden? Everybody needs money. That's why they call it money. Well, let me add this sweetener. You do the fucking job or else I'm gonna turn you over. I'm gonna drop a Roosevelt dime on your ass. Finita la commedia. How strict is that, you fucking vaunts? I'm sorry that I have to use such language in front of a woman. Were it not for who, I'd waste your fucking ass. You said you're gonna do the job, do the job. Be done with the charade. Save the bold moves for the brilliant players. I'm sorry for the language.
That's very generous of you.
And fuck you, too. Save the bullshit. Your guy says he wants to do the job.
Is that a question?
Look, you came to me, Doxy. I didn't come to you. You came begging to me.
He'll do the job next month. Needs a month.
Is that the thing?
Is that what I just told you?
Ain't you a piece of work?
Well, yeah, I came all the way from China in a matchbox. Thank you.
Fran, who's doled up to the nines, takes a drink from Jimmy.
What do you think?
I'm scared.
Never known him to be scared.
She says he's getting old.
She said that?
He's broke, he's tired, cops are looking for him. He don't want to go down there with nothing. She says he wants to play ball.
Why should we believe her? Why the fuck does he send her here?
She came to me.
To you? Oh. And he put her up to come to you.
I think she came to me on her own.
Yeah, but no. As rational men, don't we have to doubt her?
She thinks the guy's weak. She's scared. I think she's sincere.
Well, let me put a question to you. You had the job. You had the job. How would you test her sincerity?
They exchange a conspiratorial look, then Jimmy glances at Fran sitting in the next room before going to join her. Mickey munches on a snack and watches them. A bit later.
Okay, we're all on one team. All arrayed against the common enemy. Thanks for coming. I'm going to bed.
There you go. I'm going to see you back.
I'm going to be all right.
Hey, you're all right now.
Am I?
Oh, yeah. You just need somebody to lean on.
He pulls down her dress, then starts kissing her naked flesh. Now, daytime. Jimmy rotates his lighter against the steering wheel with a gloved hand as he sits in a van with Bobby.
All right. Now, I'm just saying, sometimes adrenaline gives people the shakes. Some other people mistake it for cowardice.
Maybe you want to pray about it.
I'm not a religious man.
There's nothing wrong with prayer.
You think so?
I'm in this firefight. This trooper always carried a Bible next to his heart. We used to mock him. That Bible stopped the bullet.
No shit.
Hand to God, that Bible stopped the bullet. It'd have ruined that fucker's heart. And had he had another Bible in front of his face, that man would be alive today. What time you got?
5:18.
Make the call.
Bobby hands Jimmy a pink sheet of paper, then gets out of the van. Jimmy takes off his glove and picks up his cell phone.
Hello. I got one of your rental trucks. The engine quit on me.
Dressed in a navy blue boiler suit and baseball cap, Bobby kneels down by the gas can that Joe rigged up earlier. He sets a timer, then switches it on. Then he puts the device back in its plastic bag and returns it to the can. With the timer's yellow light still showing, Bobby quickly covers the can with some grass, then stands up and walks away. He comes down a grassy verge to the roadside where their grey works van is parked and gets in. The van's adorned with orange panels and bears a security firm's name. As the van heads around a bend in the quiet country road, a sign is revealed showing that there's an airport 1 mile away. Now, at the airport, a car pulls up next to a sign for the Alpha Cargo Gate. Fran's in the driver's seat with Joe next to her.
Nobody lives forever.
Frank Sinatra gave it a shot.
You'll do.
With a warm, tender smile, he gets out and sets off across the grass towards the cargo gate. Ahead of him, a man in a pickup shows his ID at a security checkpoint. The metal gate slides open. Joe is wearing glasses, a navy blue baseball cap, and the same coloured workman's jacket. As he walks confidently towards the checkpoint, he passes two uniformed officials. Joe salutes them with a casual smile. Betty Croft, the woman from the bar, is standing in uniform at a snack van.
Your problem is the acids in the coffee.
It isn't the acids in the coffee, it's the asphalt. It's making me sick. How can I work on that all day long? You got any Rolaids?
Yeah, you want an Alka-Seltzer?
My doctor told me not to drink.
Then you shouldn't drink then.
She sneaks out a vodka miniature.
Same old story. Everywhere you go. You know...
Joe's standing next to her.
Oh, no.
Do I know you?
Oh, no, no, please, please, please.
What?
Don't fire me, please.
What are you talking about?
Don't fire me, please. I saw you in the bar. I know you were the FAA. Don't fire me.
Looking thoughtful, Joe tosses a packet of pills onto the counter, then gestures to Betty to join him for a quiet word.
Girl, you're drinking on the job. You're done.
Please, mister. I got two kids at home. Please, mister.
Give me your keys.
Oh, no. Mister, I need a break. I'm begging you. I swear to you on my life. I swear to you on my life that I will never take another drink. Don't fire me. Did you ever ask anybody for a break? Do you have any kids?
Oh, Christ. At 6 a.m. in approximately 3 minutes, I'll be conducting a security check. I'll be passing through your station. I will be, quote, armed. I will be carrying a toolkit in which is hidden three potentially lethal or dangerous items. This is a test of the apparatus and security personnel under your control. If you tip off your fellow workers before they enter this exercise, I'll have your job.
I wouldn't.
You go back to your station, you go along with the gang.
I will.
Give me your keys. Your alcohol. And you will go into the program.
I will, I swear. Thank you. Thank you.
He saunters away with a smile, then picks up a toolbox from a picnic table. Pink stands up and turns the page of his newspaper. Bobby and Jimmy are sitting in the security van, wearing the same uniform as Joe.
That's it.
Jimmy gives Pink a signal by flashing his lights. Joe walks into the security checkpoint.
Betty Croft here.
It's what?
Your supervisor, Betty Croft.
Oh, yeah, she went for a cup of coffee.
It's that time of day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well. Do you mind if I leave my toolkit here for just a minute?
It's no problem.
After a quick look around, Joe walks out and heads over to the guy who's working at the snack van.
What happened to Betty Croft?
Yeah, I think she's sick.
Yeah, I don't feel so good myself. Give me one of these, will you? And a large coffee, leave some room for milk.
Ready?
As the security van approaches Pink, he looks over at Joe, who deliberately touches the peak of his cap twice. Pink nods, then turns and makes a stopping gesture to the van with his rolled-up newspaper. Pink and Joe exchange nods.
Here's a change.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Around the back of the snack van, Joe sets down his paper coffee cup, then takes an orange multivitamin pill from a packet he's just bought and pops it into his mouth.
What's happening?
What's happening? Stay put. Put her in park. Don't let your brain rest.
Pink gives Joe a rolling hand gesture, and he turns and passes it on to the van.
There we go.
I want to see the elephant.
The security van resumes driving along the road again. Joe returns to the security checkpoint carrying his coffee and Betty's keys. He picks up his toolbox and carries it through to another room where an X-ray machine and the main office are. The uniformed desk officer comes over to him.
Up early or up late?
Not up at all until I get some of this in me.
I heard that.
Hey, what's with that? What's with your supervisor?
What, does she owe you money?
Yeah, I wish she did.
She's got some stomach thing. This little thing sets her off.
Yeah. Had an aunt like that once.
Uh-huh.
She wasn't really my aunt.
Quickly, Joe takes out a gun he's hidden in a plastic bag in his coffee and didn't pass through the X-ray machine.
She was allergic. Yeah, we used to tease her about that. You know how cruel kids can be.
He barges in.
Get on the floor. Sit on your hands.
Who are you kidding with that little thing?
Don't go for the button. Sit on the floor.
Doing it.
On the floor.
Joe beats the man unconscious. Joe opens the security gate for Bobby and Jimmy to Pink.
Give me the case. Give me the case. Open it up. Open it up.
Pink takes the toolbox into the office.
You okay? What happened?
Clean up this mess.
Joe gets a gun, then takes the toolbox and a cylindrical tube and heads into the back of the waiting van. As the van passes through, Pink flips a switch in the security office, then quickly removes his baseball cap, workman's jacket, and a fake t-shirt collar to reveal a customs official's uniform underneath.
What happened?
The Broadway bust on me.
What do you mean the Broadway bust on you?
Just drive.
The van zips along the side of an airstrip where a white Pan Geneve cargo plane is preparing for takeoff.
So, I'll go for him. Just confirm my ATC clearance to Philadelphia.
Proceed runway 35, hope for release. Contact Providence Control and depart. Today.
As the plane makes a tight turn and starts taxiing along the runway, the van cruises along behind it.
Hotel Bravo 704.
The Swiss flag's painted on the tail fin. Meanwhile, a mile away, the timer in the gas can ticks past the hour, making a red light flash. In the van, seeing it's a minute to six, Joe gestures to Jimmy to speed up. The plane is still taxiing a little further up ahead. Now, the electric cabling attached to the timer still snaking through the undergrowth, half covered by grass. A plane crosses the runway between the van and the Swiss plane. The van has to veer to the side to avoid a collision. The security van then carries on along the runway, chasing after the Swiss cargo plane. Meanwhile, at a point further along the length of the hidden cabling, it passes through a gap in the perimeter fence. A shed right in front of the control tower explodes in a massive ball of fire and black smoke.
Big tower. What the hell was that?
Anyone on final?
We have Transair 249 base, Transair 249er base.
Divert.
Transair 249, go around.
Divert, copy that, notify Boston.
The van is still speeding along the runway.
Anthony, proceed to runway Alpha India. Contact Providence Control on 729.5.
In tower, this is Pantone 242. We are now taking the active.
Hey, he's not stopping. Cut him off.
As the van picks up speed, the plane carries on taxiing. Its red logo, the god Mercury with his winged helmet, stands out against its white paintwork. The van speeds under the tip of a wing, then comes round to the front where it screeches to a halt a short distance away, forcing the plane to stop. Wearing a fluorescent yellow bib, Jimmy clambers out of the van and runs towards the plane, waving his arms above his head. The van backs speedily out of the parked plane's way, while Jimmy plugs in a headset with microphone under an open hatch on the plane's fuselage. He steps back to see the pilots through their windscreen as he puts the headset on, then waves his arms.
We have reports of a possible explosive device on board. I want you to cut your engine. We got a man who's coming on board to advise you. Cut your engines, kill all your power and your electronics and the radio. Stay off the radio.
Joe opens the plane's door.
What's going on? Shut down your engine. Kill your radio. Kill your radar. Keep your APU up. We have a report there may be an explosive device on board.
I advise you to keep your seats while I make a sweep. Be in touch with my man on the ground on service interphone.
How serious do you think this threat is?
Just be in touch with my man, all right?
Don't talk to the tower. Talk to me. Yeah. Cut the radio electronics.
Joe has activated the cargo door unnoticed by the pilots. As the large curved door slowly swings upwards, Bobby jumps in with a toolbox. He lobs a smoke grenade into the cockpit and closes the door on the startled pilot. As the cockpit fills with dense grey smoke, one of the men tries desperately to open the door. Joe leans back on the other side, having wedged it closed. Jimmy runs back to the van. He jumps in and gets it moving. In the plane's cargo bay, Bobby hurriedly opens the metal toolbox that has the cylindrical tube taped to its lid. He tips out a harness and long-handled cutters. He looks up at Joe, who nods at him grimly. Bobby turns and gives a spinning hand-over-hand gesture to Jimmy, who's in the van below the plane. Jimmy jumps out of the driver's seat and opens the van's rear doors, revealing what appears to be a jet turbine engine on a mounting block. He slides out a metal ladder and swings open the front of the engine's base, showing an empty cavity inside. Meanwhile, Joe and Bobby rig up the harness straps on the plane, snapping the clips onto metal loops around the cargo door. Jimmy stretches the ladder between the fake compartment in the van and the plane's open cargo bay, while Bobby removes a red plastic sheet that screens off the rear of the plane. There's a layer of clear plastic sheeting behind the red. With the red sheet removed, Bobby takes a knife from Joe and slices an opening in the clear plastic and pulls out one of the cardboard boxes stored behind it. Joe completes the harness assembly. A sign on a metal case reads, High Point Foundry. Bobby removes more cardboard boxes hurriedly, working a path deeper into the freight section. Joe comes to help him. Outside, Jimmy ducks under the ladder joining the plane to the van and watches an emergency vehicle hurtling along the runway. In the plane, Bobby takes a flashlight from Joe and shines it onto a metal trunk bearing the Swiss flag above the words Credit National de Genève. Joe gives Bobby the nod, so he slices the lock off the trunk with the long-handled cutters. Bobby swings open the sturdy metal door and begins heaving out heavy grey plastic cases. As he stacks them up on the cleared floor next to the metal trunk, Joe clips a bungee cord onto the handle of one of the plastic cases. Bobby slides the next one along the floor of the plane to Joe, then grabs another. Using the bungee, Joe lowers the first case down the ladder from the cargo doorway. Jimmy receives it at the foot of the ladder and unclips it.
Hold it. I show Pan Genève outbound to 1205 Zulu. Providence Control wants to know where is he. Pan Genève 262, who's got him? Pan Genève?
I got him right there. I got him visual on the runway. He's right. Pan Genève. He's right there.
Break, Manchester Control, query taken. I have an inbound Lear, 5-2 Papa, Oldfield State. Can you take him? Squawk, 1795 direct.
Manchester, I got him. Lear, 5-2 Papa.
In the small office at the security checkpoint, Pink picks up the knocked-out guard's cap and puts it on, completing his uniform, then heads out. The compartment in the back of the truck is now filled with the plastic containers. Jimmy swings the front closed so that once again it looks like an aircraft engine resting on a solid wooden block. Joe puts his shades back on and begins taking down the harness. Bobby jumps out of the plane onto the van's roof, then clambers down, followed by Joe, who carries the flashlight and gives the open plane one last look before getting in the van's passenger side. He slams the door, and with Jimmy behind the wheel, the van races off across the sunny airstrip.
Bobby, keep your eyes open. You got change for 20.
Joe flashes a gold bar, then slides it back into his jacket pocket.
How you like me now, babe?
A slow grin creeps across Jimmy's face. Now the van skids to a halt outside an open garage where Pink is yelling on a cell phone. Bobby gets out.
Do not train me. You're the fourth person I talked to today. Enough of this.
Come on.
Engine Come on. Failure. I called first at 5:20 this morning. This is my fourth call.
Keep coming.
Good. How long before that tow truck?
I called 5:20. My first call was my fourth call just outside the airport, industrial in 207. Yes, I'm an attorney. Can I have your name, please? I'm gonna have your job.
Good. Yeah, hey! 2 minutes to go before the setup's over.
Joe.
Tow truck will be here. Let's go, let's go.
Joe, when that copper comes to.
Yeah, well,
that's gotta be what it's gonna be. Can you make it through a roadblock?
Whatever. It's all of a piece.
Whoa. You're burnt.
Huh?
You're burnt.
Yeah, we're all gonna go together.
You do not see the percentage.
You don't have to, baby.
You're burnt. You're fucking burnt, old man.
Hey, I go with the gold.
I go with the gold. I go with the gold. What are you telling your beads? I go with the gold. Look, man, you tell me. What are they going to be looking harder at? You tell me. You here with us, or you in an empty car? You tell me. You tell me. You follow us through the roadblock.
Joe, you're burnt. When that cop of you slug comes through, they're going to put him at the roadblock. You're burnt. It's the wise thing.
You go in the van. Stay with the gold. It'll be all right. I'll meet you at the rendezvous.
Get in.
Let's go, guys. Come on, let's go.
Let's move.
Drop it out. Come on, let's go.
Bobby. There you go, pal.
Come on, let's go.
The man said, let's go, move.
The crew have quickly changed out of their uniforms, and the van's security signs have been peeled off.
Joe! I'll see you with the maid.
See you at the maid!
Bobby and Pink climb into a car and Bobby starts it up. It has to halt suddenly so Jimmy can take his jacket from the hood.
Come on, keep it together, boy! Not over yet! Let's go, Fran! Fran!
See you at the maid.
Joe, listen. It's a smart thing.
It is.
Yeah, okay. Oh, my God.
What?
She missed a fucking tow truck.
Jimmy knocks Joe out cold with a blow from a metal bar. The grey van now has Fenway Rentals on the side. Jimmy activates the garage's electric shutter, then kneels by the unconscious Joe and grabs the keys lying beside him. He reaches into Joe's pocket and takes the gold bar as well. Now he walks off as the garage shutter comes down, sealing Joe inside. Fran opens the van's hood and yanks a wire out as she props it open. Walking over to meet her, Jimmy slips the gold bar into his jacket pocket and nonchalantly tosses the keys he took over his shoulder.
Meet us there.
A dark blue police car hares around the corner, coming towards them at high speed. Jimmy and Fran watch it pass before it skids to an abrupt halt.
Don't smoke a cigarette.
Makes me look calm.
What kind of people try to look calm?
Get away from the van. Put your hands on top of your head and slowly walk towards me.
Now, you, the man, on the grass. Kneel on the grass. Come
hey,
on.
Hey, you stop right there.
Come on, kneel down.
Open the van.
It's unlocked.
Open it.
Don't look at me. Look at the grass.
Fran opens the van, revealing the engine aircraft on its mounting block.
What's that?
It's an engine.
For what?
I don't know.
The armed officer relaxes.
Okay. How long has the van been here?
What's the problem?
How long have you been here?
I've been waiting here since 4 a.m. for the fucking tow truck. What's the problem?
It was a robbery.
The man gives Fran a sour look and strides over to his car with his colleague. The tow truck has arrived to take away the apparently broken down van. A short distance away in the closed garage, Joe comes round. He gets to his feet, touches his head, and pulls away the bubble wrap covering a small window in the shutter. He watches the grey van being hauled up onto the back of the tow truck and winces with pain. He stumbles in the gloom and sees a black jacket hanging up in front of his face. He lifts it down off its peg and pulls it on. His face is etched with concern. He reaches for a red plastic hard hat and puts it on, wincing at the slightly tight fit. Now a garage door opens and Joe steps out. He looks across grimly at the Fenway tow truck just as it pulls away from the curb with the grey company van on the back. The tow truck proceeds towards a police cordon and is directed through by an armed cop gesticulating wildly. Jimmy waves a hand casually at the cop from the passenger window as the truck passes. Joe watches it depart, straightening his jacket and glaring grimly. Later that night, a van's headlights blaze in the darkness. Jimmy drives the vehicle along a deserted country road. Dragging on a cigarette, he glances at Fran.
You're good with the cops. You think good on your feet. You think good off your feet, too.
Well, aren't you sweet?
You say we stop for a drink.
It's a long road. Let's get to the meat.
Yeah, that's difficult. Want me to tell you why? There is no meat.
Fran looks at him warily.
Joe wouldn't like that.
We left Joe at the airport. There is no meat, you know that. Your guy went out, got his picture on a postage stamp. He got old. Let's cut the shucking and the jiving. What kind of man sends you to me, sends his wife to me to distract me? Oh, surprise. I was all taken in. How about that? What a fool I am. Would I do that to you? Would I do that to you? And P.S., who liked it? It's old time's sake. I'm going to tell you something. Why don't we cut the nonsense and say what it is?
I need a drink.
What the hell, you think he was going to go home with the gold? And what fairy tale? Only one didn't know that was him. That old man needed someone to sit down and draw it for him on a napkin. And you went with it all the way. Is you joking? You answer me. I'm going to tell you what we can do with all that gold.
Suddenly, dazzling headlights fill the van. Driving on the wrong side of the road, Jimmy swerves to avoid a head-on collision with a tanker truck and sends the van skidding across the highway. It crashes onto the verge and its rear doors fly open. It finally comes to rest at an angle. Jimmy and Fran look shaken.
Where are you going?
You okay?
Where are you going?
I'm gonna check the gold.
Leave it. Walk away from it. Leave it.
Walk away? What are you, crazy? Truck's clean. For Christ's sake, the truck's clean. Do you think I'm gonna walk away from all this?
Jimmy stares down at the ground behind the van. Lying on the road are several of the grey containers smashed open. Scattered amongst them, gleaming silver in the night, are hundreds of metal washers. Jimmy scrambles over the piles of washers, grabbing and scraping at them as if expecting to find hidden gold. He stands slowly, then reaches into his pocket and takes out the gold bar, but it slips through his fingers and falls onto the useless metal. Jimmy looks down and sees that it's split in half. He picks up the two pieces slowly and realizes that the gold is a fake surface covering that peels away easily from the bare metal underneath. A rig with a cargo of logs has pulled up further down the road. Jimmy sees Fran glance back at him as she climbs in. Then the vehicle slowly sets off, passing Jimmy, who takes a piece of paper and a pencil out of his jacket pocket. Staring at the vehicle intently, he notices the green and white Vermont plate on the back of the rig and jots down the registration number. The rig slowly winds its way around a bend in the road. Now, elsewhere, a large box-shaped truck slows and stops in a nighttime street. Bobby sits looking pensive in the driver's seat. He's shaken out of his private thoughts when the passenger door opens and Joe climbs in.
How you doing? Hey, you know? Yeah, you go.
What is it?
What the hell are you doing?
Well, that's true, too.
Having handed Joe a drink, Bobby smiles to himself and they get moving. A short time later, the pair are walking with a customs official at the airport.
Hell of a thing!
Oh, yes! It's a hell of a thing. You know, I put my shipment on a plane here yesterday. It's supposed to be in Philly yesterday by 9.
That's right.
Then they called me back from vacation. From vacation, said, well, your load's still on the ground. And never left Boston. No,
we had a robbery.
No kidding.
Well, you say you had a robbery. Was anybody hurt? A couple pilots shaken up a little.
You had a robbery and you impound the plane? Well, what'd they take?
Some load from Switzerland.
Floodlights and police cars surround the Swiss plane as Joe and the customs man ride on its cargo lift to get inside.
Didn't the carrier offer to put it on their next flight?
What?
Didn't they offer to put it on their next flight to Philly?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Their next flight is 8 a.m. tomorrow. My load's got to be in Philly yesterday. I got to drive it down there myself. If I don't have that load in Philly by dawn, there's my job. Well, here it is.
The metal cases labeled High Point Foundry.
Hell of a thing. Hell of a thing.
Now, two men are helping Joe by wheeling a case over to the lift. Its platform is level with the plane's open cargo door. The second of the three cases is wheeled out next to the first. Now it's morning. Pink emerges carrying a holdall with a small girl. He takes the girl's hand as they walk.
Come to dinner tonight.
Well, we're going to have to see.
You always say that, and it means you won't.
Well, it's possible. It's possible you see that in my business.
Uh-huh.
But I might have to go traveling for a while.
Why can't you do your business here?
Well, I wish I could, baby. Fact is, I have to get out of here this morning.
This morning?
And that's when my plane leaves.
They arrive at a yellow school bus.
You know, times change. My day, all the kids had a walk all the way to school.
Yes, but the streets were safer.
Is that so? You take care of yourself, kid.
Bye, Kabadi.
Pink waves through the closing doors. He turns around and finds himself face to face with a grim man in shades.
Nice day for the race.
What race is that?
Human race. Kids growing up, so on. Hope of the future.
Get in the fucking car.
The man rests a hand on Pink's shoulder, guiding him to the open back door. Another man climbs in the other side, and the man in shades gets into the front passenger seat. Elsewhere, one of the metal cases is lying open. Black metal strong boxes rest inside with the Swiss flag on them. Scattered gold bars gleam in the half-light, and a fiercely hot crucible glows bright orange, swinging gently as it's first raised, then repositioned, and shortly after lowered on a chain. Joe and Bobby are both wearing identical protective gear and curved tinted face masks. The glowing crucible now rests in a small cradle with two very long handles on either side. Joe and Bobby have an end each and together guide the glowing pot, tipping it so that the yellow liquid gold pours into a trough-shaped mould. The thick, lava-like liquid metal splutters as it dribbles along the mould, filling it from one end and splashing droplets over the edge. Joe tilts up his mask, revealing a face bathed in an orange glow. Then he whips the whole mask off and winks at Bobby, giving him a thumbs up. Joe walks off through the foundry at his boatyard, past a cluster of gold bars, and wanders up some steps. With his mask flipped up over his face, Bobby takes one in heavily gloved hands. Now the bar is gripped in powerful metal pincers. Bobby lowers it into a glowing hole in the furnace. The pincers come up out of the hole empty. From an upper level, Joe maneuvers a lifting chain for the newly recast gold and stops it at a signal from Bobby. He shrugs off his heavy protective coat, his face mask resting on a pile of long, gleaming golden poles. He takes a canned drink from a box and opens it as he steps outside into the sunshine, then positions a lifting chain over the deck of his boat. Mickey to Pink.
Where's the gold?
You know, I'm reluctant to tell you.
When we put it to you, you know when we put it to you, you're going to be telling us the gross national product, Bolivia.
Hey.
You're going to be telling us the area codes of Belgium and Luxembourg.
Hey, look, that's all I know.
This is all you know. This is all you know. This is all you know. And we got you going to St. Croix. Where's your share? How do you pick up your share? Where's the gold? Where's the meat?
What are you going to do? Hurt me?
Well, no. Actually, no. Not going to hurt you. But tell a guy. I'm full admiration. What was the deal? What was the deal?
The way you're looking at the deal was we get away with the gold. Cute, huh?
Yeah, no, that's charming. And then what?
We slip away.
You slip away? And me and my guys, we go to the meet, and we find a truck full of pig iron? Is that the thing?
Oh, well, Joe figured you weren't never going to the meet.
He did. You know, your guy doesn't get in his head to fly off on a variation. We're all out on a patio right now. We're all having a margarita. Where's the gold?
You understand my reluctance to tell you.
Take him out and show him something.
The man in shades snaps his fingers.
Don't hurt him.
Mickey punches Fran. Jimmy looks up at his uncle impassively.
You got anything to say about this?
Jimmy shakes his head. Mickey puts a fat cigar between his lips and puffs on it. Meanwhile, Joe is diligently polishing a golden stanchion on his boat. Bobby emerges from the workshop and calls down to him.
Fran, has she called in?
She won't call until she ditches the guy. How's she gonna ditch him? She could talk her way out of a sunburn.
That's right.
As Joe continues polishing, his cell phone rings. A battered and bleeding Pink is on the other end.
Yeah.
Joe. Yeah. How you doing? Just checking in. Fine, finest. Pristine. Yeah, no. I saw the truck drive through, too. Isn't it? See you at the meet.
Okay.
Joe hangs up, looking thoughtful. Pink hands the cell phone he used to the henchman, who's removed his shades. The man redials.
Mr. Bergman, please. Hold on. Yeah.
So where's the gold?
Mickey on his office phone.
You're shitting me.
He hangs up, takes another puff on his cigar, and jots something down on a piece of paper. Pink hands the cell phone back to Mickey's henchman.
Is that all right?
Okay.
Okay.
The man opens the door to the small room, and outside, his associate takes Pink's niece to a car. The door closes again, and Pink looks up. The door opens. The henchman steps out, wiping streaks of blood from his face with a handkerchief and straightening his jacket collar. Joe is motoring his yacht through rundown docks. He scans the area ahead, squinting at the sunshine and looking around tensely. Grimy industrial surroundings slip past, and he leaves his boat's wheel momentarily to peer over his stern rail. Now he edges nearer to the dock. A row of round white fenders hang over the edge. Fran is waiting. Joe looks concerned as his boat draws in close and comes alongside.
How you doing? We're all packed up? How'd you ditch that guy? Leave him at the altar?
Oh yeah, I left him at the altar.
That's my girl.
He sees her bruised cheek.
What happened to you?
Yeah, yeah. What? There was a change of plans you couldn't call to tell me? Huh? Get him off the boat. Off the boat. Get off the boat. Yeah, that's right. Where's your friend? Where's your friend? You all alone? No. You ain't alone. It ain't good to be alone. Dump it. Here, go find his friend.
I didn't have a choice.
Let my wife go.
You mind if I say something personal? Your wife's a whore.
After all the crap we went through together.
I was gonna make you rich.
Is that so?
But you had to go complicate that last little bit.
You piece of shit!
Yeah? Who's kneeling on the fucking dock?
He ain't there.
All right. Okay. You wanna wrap it up? You want to just stand around out here and guess my real name?
What is your real name?
Rumpelstiltskin.
What was it before you changed it?
Oh, watch your mouth!
Leave him the fuck alone!
Get the fuck out!
Get back!
Get her out of here! You had to go out on a limb. You had to go out on a limb. Didn't you?
Let the girl go.
I'll give up the gold.
Yeah, we had in mind a different deal. How about that? I hear if you're flexible, it keeps you young.
I'll give up the gold. Me and the girl, we leave on the boat.
What if the gold's on the boat?
I gave up the gold, baby. I had to.
You what?
I had to.
Yeah. I hate to break your rice bowl, but your wife just made another deal. Deal she made, we get the gold, we let you live. What do you think?
Let me walk away.
That's right.
Me and the girl?
Well, not quite.
I'm sorry, baby.
Let's get this boat out of here. Hey, she's got a very commercial mind.
Hey, hold on. Hold on a second.
You're
here.
Bust, pal. Hey. You're bust.
If you don't step up, you're gonna stay here. Take a little bit of forever. This way you walk away, you're a lucky dog.
Take the gold. Take off the gold. Just leave me the boat.
Don't make me lose my respect for you. Get the boat out of here. Get the gold off.
Give him some money. Leave him some money. Don't let him go down there with nothing. Give him some money.
Yeah, that's right. We don't want to send you out there broke. Give me a shiv.
A knife.
Yeah. Buy yourself something nice. Pay you with gold. How you doing?
You holding up?
Rod sold me out.
How about that? Show them a pretty face, the diamond necklace, and they're gone like the morning mist.
Mickey tries to cut the boat's gold pulpit. His fist trembles with effort as he tries to cut the gleaming metal. He glares over his shoulder and tries again.
Find it!
He throws his cigar down.
Where's the gold?
Joe punches Mickey to the ground and runs, but gets a bullet in the thigh.
Hurt him a little.
One of the men punches Joe.
Hey!
Get him up.
Oh, yes. You're just too hip to be happy. Is that so? You had to go and hit me.
You all done? Because I got bills to pay.
Give me a cigarette.
They're bad for you.
Oh, yeah, well, nobody lives forever.
Yeah, but you're going to spend the rest of your life with me. Right now. Where's the fucking gold?
Kiss my Yankee ass.
Okay. I hate to do anything as dramatic as count to three. But one.
A gun at Joe's head.
Two.
Hey.
Damn it. Oh, what the fuck?
Bobby! Bobby!
Coming at
no
you.
No shooting.
Oh, fuck. Ah! Fuck. Stop. Put the fucking guns down.
Are you listening to me?
No, no. Stop. Stop. We're talking. We're talking. Let's just talk.
Stop. Just
stop. Yeah.
No. Bobby puts another bullet in the henchman but gets shot himself.
Bobby! Come on, sit down! Sit down! No gun! No.
Joe shoots Mickey and stumbles forwards, trading fire with another henchman. Joe takes shelter behind a barrel, then rising to his feet and firing with his gun held in both hands, shoots the man in the shoulder. The man staggers away but is felled at the top of some steps. Hearing Joe's gun click empty, the last henchman steps out from his hiding place and aims.
I'm ready.
Bobby appears from nowhere and kills the man.
Let's get the fuck out of here.
Mickey's face is streaked with blood.
Oh, how about that? Oh, how about that?
The two men hobble up to him.
Don't you want to hear my last words?
I just did.
Bobby flinches as Joe fires his rifle at Mickey. As he passes, Joe looks back at Mickey with a look of disgust and weariness, then briefly surveys his bleak surroundings. Bobby finds the henchman who shot Pink groaning on his belly and rolls him into the water with his foot. Joe gazes out at his boat with a look of tired resignation and walks off with his rifle propped against his shoulder. Now, in a roadside restaurant, he places a hot drink on the counter, lifts the plastic lid, and checks a silver pot for milk. Finding none inside, he takes his drink to sit a few feet from Bobby at the long counter and checks another pot.
Hey, you put a lot of milk into it, lessens the chance of stomach distress.
I can't be worrying about every little thing. How you mending?
Doing my best here.
Huh?
Yeah? It's too bad about Pinky.
What?
Pinky. Shame.
Ain't that so?
You always made me laugh.
What more can you ask of anyone?
Nothing. Hey, you go to that plastic surgeon like your dad and put you all the way under.
I knew Captain Stateville one time, went to get his face fixed. Woke up and sucker gave him a pair of tits.
That's a bad beat, no question.
And he landed back inside and never had to want for cigarettes.
Bobby reaches into his pocket and whizzes a book of matches along the counter. Joe picks it up and opens it.
Send your cut there.
Why right there?
When you get where you're going.
That I will, pal.
Air is nice down there in the sun.
Is that where I'm going?
There it is, brother.
I'll come back.
Bobby gets up quickly and hurries out. Joe stays where he is, with a deeply introspective look on his face. Bobby joins an attractive woman in a car outside.
Hey, baby.
Hey. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Who was that?
Some guy wanted me to give him a tip on a fight.
Did you?
I told him I worked my whole life. But why should I give him the benefit of a lifetime of knowledge? Drive.
Through the window, Joe rises from his seat and walks away with a slight limp. Later, he's back at his boatyard, coating the poles he cast with the stolen gold in black paint. The long poles are stacked in the back of a pickup. He's so intent on the job at hand that he fails to notice a figure appear in the background. The blurred figure walks towards him slowly, but still he doesn't look round.
Nothing like a good plan, Joe.
He smiles.
Yeah, I wouldn't tie my shoes without a backup plan.
Shame about Pinky.
Yeah, it went bad there that last little bit, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Then that's just the price.
That's right. That's part of it.
Didn't you do great, though?
Did I?
Well, you hot-walked that dude the livelong day.
Went to a good school.
What's the rest of it?
I don't get you.
We were talking about Pinky.
Yeah.
And I said, then that's just the price, and you said, well, that's part of it. Mm-hmm. What's the rest of it?
Jimmy.
Let me see your hands. That's right, real still. Yeah, well, get over there.
Joe gives Fran a sickened look.
Keep walking.
Well, you sent me to him. You shouldn't have sent me to him.
Well, you can't think of everything.
Where's the gold?
It's right there.
Why didn't he shoot me?
That's the deal.
He ain't gonna shoot me?
No.
Then he had not a pointed gun at me. It's insincere.
Let's go. How you doing?
I'm tired.
Jimmy hits a button to raise a shutter.
You'll be all right.
You think so?
You always are. Cute plan, though.
Cute as a Chinese baby.
Fran nods sadly and gets into the pickup. With a grim sneer, Joe watches her. She puts a cigarette between her lips as Jimmy drives the pickup out into the daylight. Joe stands watching it depart, then turns and, looking concerned, limps back through the large garage. He goes to a green pickup that was parked close to the one that's just gone and that points towards an opposite entrance. He opens the driver's door of the older-looking vehicle and gets in. He grabs his left knee and hauls his injured leg inside, then slams the door. The green pickup edges towards the entrance. As it bounces over the threshold, a long black pole in the back scrapes against a red metal post. A long gash of scratched paint shows the bright gleam of gold underneath. Joe gets out, looking concerned. He grabs the freshly painted pole and pushes it down. Pulling back a tarpaulin, he reveals a large stockpile of bright, unpainted gold poles shining with a lusty gleam. Joe covers up his hoard again and places another painted pole on top to weigh the tarpaulin down, then gets back into the vehicle. Looking grim, he drives off once more. Then suddenly, a wide, cheery smile creeps over his face.